Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. Thanks for coming by. Today is Friday, the end of our week, and our show has kind of evolved into having Friday be recap day, an opportunity to kind of touch on things that we talked about all week and add to or discuss a little bit some of the things we talked about. It's usually kind of interesting because sometimes we talk about something on a weekday, and during the week, different things come to us, Shelley and myself, and sometimes Monica, in regard to things that we talked about, and people actually contact me on Facebook or call me and say, you know, do you know about this or do you know about that? And it's really kind of fun. It's a great way to learn. It's too bad everybody can't do this. So today we're going to talk about the video that we talked about on Monday, which was an awesome video. I hope some of you would have had the opportunity to either go to YouTube and watch it. It was really, really a good video, and it is on my Facebook page, and it's about kids that bullied each other. On Tuesday, we talked about Bullies to Buddies, and we worked in the workbook. We talked about the ideas behind a lot of the things that have been organized and how they're working and how they aren't working. And Wednesday, we didn't do a show because I had to be someplace early in the morning. On Thursday, we had our regular health show, and we talked a lot about skincare and actually came up with some amazing things that are all natural, that are so much better for us than some of the additives that are in a lot of the things that you can get over the counter. So I'm going to bring Shell in, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we learned this week. And we have another caller on the line. I expect I know who it is, and you're welcome to chime in whenever you want to. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey.
How are you today, honey?
Doing pretty good, and you?
I'm good. I'm good. I woke up again this morning. That's a good sign, right?
Yeah, for all of us.
I wanted to share with you that won't mean much to our audience this morning, but I got a call from Becky Ray last night. We talked for 2.5 hours on the phone. Yes, yes. Becky was a friend of ours at the Institute. She's somebody who had been there a very long time when Shelley and I both joined the staff. And I have lovingly always referred to Becky as No Shit Becky. And she is one of those people who says it like it is always kind about the way she says it. I don't think Becky's ever hurt anybody's feelings by being totally honest, but if you want a straight question or if you want a straight answer to a question, that's the best person to ask because, you know, without any, you know, frivolous adjectives added in, she'll just tell you the way it is. And she was a great help to me in my beginning years at the Institute. So she is living in...
Becky was my introduction to Hippocrates. She was the first one who trained me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had a not only a deep respect for her, but a deep appreciation because she was very knowledgeable, very dedicated, very talented at what she did, So she had all the positive attributes that you could say to somebody who was teaching you to take over a position, you know. And I really had a lot of respect for her, and that's always carried through. You know, for all the years I knew her, she was very consistent, you know, very level-headed, always the same type of person, very trustworthy. So, like, all these key words that you could use to describe somebody, they would all fit Becky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one of the biggest reasons I brought her up is because I often mention people that I know are in a little bit of duress so that we can send whatever you believe in her way that's positive, positive energy, prayers. She hurt her back, and she is one of the healthiest people I've ever known in my whole life. She's laid tiles in her whole house before all by herself. She's not a big woman. She's small. She looks like a gym teacher, doesn't she, Shell? I mean, she's always been very fit looking.
Yes.
And she does all of her own wheatgrass, all of her own sprouts. She lives in Tennessee, and she actually supplies a country store with sprouts, and she raises free-range chickens and has eggs and stuff like that. She doesn't eat the chicken, but she does the eggs. And she's amazing. And she still juices daily for her and her husband. And I think if it wasn't for all the things that she's always done in regard to keeping herself in a good place, this back issue would have been really detrimental to her overall health. But they want to do surgery. She doesn't want it. So she's doing a lot of therapy, and she says she's better. She's really much better. And it was great to talk because, you know, she told me things that will help me. I told her, I said, you're stretching every morning before you stand upright. That's imperative to good back health. And especially after it's been hurt once or twice or 10 times like a lot of us. And she said, I used to do that all the time, but I can't anymore because I get Charley horses, and they're so painful they make me scream. And I said, do you know about vinegar? And she said, what about vinegar? I said, a spoonful of vinegar will make those kind of cramps dissolve and go away. And she says, you're kidding me. And I said, I can't believe you didn't know that. You know so much about this stuff. But she never had cramps before, and that's what happens to a lot of us. You know, once something happens to us, then the investigation is what teaches us all these things. And
now you're talking about apple vinegar?
You can use any kind of vinegar, to be honest with you, Shell. Apple cider vinegar is the best. Big Spike was, as a youth, incredibly muscular. And he was an athlete. I mean, he was an all-star in high school. Then he went into the Navy. He stayed physically fit. He always did sports all through our life together. He played slow ball, gosh, until he was in his 40s. His legs, in particular, were very muscular from all the track and the football and the basketball and all that kind of stuff. And now in later years, from, of course, not having so much exercise, when he does exercise, he gets horrible cramps. And one of the old police officers that he bowls with told him to take a sip of vinegar, a spoonful of vinegar. And they didn't say any particular kind. So Spike came home one day after bowling and could barely walk. And you can see the Charley horse in his legs because they're thin legs. And you can see the muscle when it spasms right in his leg. And he took a spoonful of vinegar, and within minutes it subsided. And like I say, apple cider vinegar is better. We all know that. And it actually tastes a little bit better than plain old white vinegar. But it really works. And he's had the kids do it if they get dehydrated when they're out working in the sunshine, when they're doing tree work or anything like that, and they get cramps. Our son David, who works on pools, and he's incredibly muscular. I don't know if any of you have ever seen pictures of David. Shelley, of course, knows him. But he weighs about 280, and he's 6'1", but he's all muscle. And when he gets a cramp, too, it really hurts. So he does the vinegar as well, and they both swear by it. So it was a great conversation. She sent her love to you, Shell, and she is hoping at some point in time she'll get to come visit, which would be awesome.
Wonderful, yeah.
I'm going to open up this other caller. Good morning.
Hi, Renee. It's Monica. I had to chime in. Oh, my gosh. I have a couple of things to say about back issues.
Okay.
First of all, magnesium oil.
Okay.
I told her that last night on
is,
the phone. I told her that on the phone
good.
Last night because of you. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good. If you mix that, would DMSO, pharmaceutical grade, okay, it works wonders. The pain will go away, and it will help release the muscle because that's what magnesium does. It relaxes the muscle, and it will release that nerve. What she probably has is sciatica, and that will go long ways mm-hmm. towards helping her. The thing about DMSO, you do have to do your research because
what is DMSO, Monica?
It's a long scientific word, but basically it's a solvent that they get from pine trees, and it immediately, it's clear, and a lot of animal trainers, horse trainers, use it. It's like a liniment, okay? And it immediately takes whatever is on your skin or whatever you're combining it with, like the magnesium oil or arnica oil, into all the layers of your skin, into your body. So that's why you have to be careful with DMSO. If your hands are dirty and you apply it, or if the cotton ball is not sterile, however you apply it, that bacteria will also go into your body. I think, I don't remember if I told you, but my dog is a dachshund, and he had calcium deposits in two places on his spine, totally lame in the back. He jumped off the couch. They're notorious for hurting their back and becoming paralyzed. And we took him to the vet. She took the x-rays. Yep, that's what he has. And they said surgery, $5,000. I'm like, I don't have it. Yeah. So I did the research. And what I did was I shaved his spine, you know, the hair, off of his spinal area, and I combined the magnesium oil with the DMSO and put it on his spinal area where she showed me, you know, the problem was, and kept him pretty contained. I wouldn't let him jump around or anything like that because he could still scoot with his front feet, but we had to carry him outside to go to the bathroom, all this, put a diaper on him, that sort of thing. Totally paralyzed in the back.
Wow.
I put the DMSO along with the magnesium oil. Within a month, he started walking again.
Wow.
Because, yeah, and nobody knows about this. And if you've ever been to a vet, well, you see these dogs in wheelchairs or little
yes,
carts.
Yes, I see those.
Uh-huh. But it doesn't need to be that way. If they, you know, if people would do this, I mean, he walks a little funny, you know, but he's walking and he's going to the bathroom on his own. Yeah. But it works wonders, absolute wonders. And the thing about apple cider vinegar, the mm-hmm. best way to do that is to get the Bragg's, Braggs.
Oh, yeah, we know
raw
Bragg.
Yeah,
cider.
We're familiar with Bragg.
You know about Bragg?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Because that has the mother, which is loaded with probiotics, the B vitamins, A vitamins, all kinds of good things. And, yeah,
I think most of the holistic websites, when they do talk about apple cider vinegar, they always go to Bragg's. They always actually recommend that particular brand. It's a very, very good company. They also have the amino acids and some other products. I use
mm-hmm.
both acids and the apple cider vinegar, so I'm really pleased with the company and the ethics of how they manufacture their products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was just going to mention
the amino acids. They're of a lot of use to people who are trying to do the transition with no salt and stuff like that. So the amino acids come in very handy.
There's no sodium in it, but
right.
It tastes like It tastes similar. It doesn't taste like soy sauce, but it's very similar to soy sauce. It has that salty taste.
Right.
For somebody that really likes that, there is a way of getting salt in your diet where you're not increasing your sodium intake, like kelp flakes or dulse flakes or the Bragg's amino acid. So there's plenty of ways of getting that salty flavor without messing with blood pressure and things like that. And it's nice to know that those alternatives are out there, and they're actually healthier for you.
Mm-hmm. I love Bragg's amino acids because I'm a salt lover, and I've always liked it. I used to make some of the dressings from the buffet at the Institute. I would add Bragg's to the dressing just so it had a little bit saltier taste. And, of course, crunch up the any of the sea vegetables crunched up on top of a salad gives it a saltier taste. So, that's good information. I want to ask you something real quickly, though, Monica, while I have you on the phone. When you're talking about magnesium oil with the DMSO, what about castor oil when you're using something like DMSO? Would that work too?
Oh, yes. Anything that you combine with the DMSO will be sent right into your body.
Hmm.
Stuff is amazing, amazing. I
heard of DMS. Didn't know that was actually what it did. I've just seen it. I've seen it in a lot of, like with DMSO. I've seen products. As a matter of fact, there was a painkiller advertised on TV. I haven't seen it lately. This is going back about a year ago. And they kept saying with DMSO and that kind of thing on it. But I didn't know the significance of it, so I'm glad you explained that.
Yeah, it works really well. You can also, like for aches and pains, if you get some pure MSM, methyl sulfur something, it's another scientific name, but most people know that as inflammation. It helps with inflammation. You could also do that. I did try that on my dog a couple of times. It's a powder. Mix it up in the DMSO and then apply it on your knees, your back, wherever. That helps with the pain a lot, too.
Well, that's kind of the premise of castor oil packs, if you think about it.
Right.
That's how
right.
I healed my
uh-huh.
left. I had 8 bone spurs in my left shoulder. This is going back almost 20 years ago now. And I was told that I needed surgery because bone spurs can't go away. Well, at that point, I had just started embarking in all this research I'm doing, and I had read about castor oil packs. I didn't want to have my shoulder filleted right down to the bone. And so I started, it took me 6 months, but what I did is 3 times a day, I would put castor oil on the shoulder, wrap it in plastic, and then put a hot towel around the plastic. And the plastic acted as it just absorbed the heat and then pushed the heat into the castor oil, opened up my pores, and then I was taking MSM and another joint compound. It was all vegan. There were no, it wasn't like chondroitin or anything like that. It was a vegetarian form of MSM with bromelain, and inside of 6 months, the bone spurs were gone, and the doctor couldn't believe it. He was just in shock when he saw the X-rays, but. Because here, 6 months ago I had bone spurs. 6 months later I don't have bone spurs. And according to him, that wasn't possible, but it happened.
mm-hmm. I think the hard part about a lot of the things that we talk about is the tenacity you have to be able to go through some of these things. And some of the things I run up against when I say stuff like this to people is they're like, isn't there a pill or something I can take? And that seems to be, it is. It is our answer in the world today for immediate gratification with almost everything that we do. So I think the hardest part is to get people to understand, like what I talked about yesterday in the beginning of our show yesterday. I talked in earnest about the fact that you really do have to take care of yourself because we are living longer. It's nothing like it used to be, and you have to do things that are going to prolong your energy, not just your good health, but your mobility, all those kind of things, and that all takes some work. It isn't just something that stays okay for most of us. You do have to do something to keep it in a good place. And when I talk to people, because I'm the biggest offender, by the way, and I know that. That's why I recognize it in others. It's really easy to take an Excedrin when I have a headache instead of going out in the living room and sitting down for a few minutes, putting a little bit of ice on the back of my neck and then rubbing some magnesium oil on it, which I know will work. But it doesn't work as fast as the three Excedrin. Do you see what I'm saying? So
yes.
A lot of this is the tenacity of wanting to make a difference that lasts and that doesn't have a continuum of side effects. And that is where we all need, you know, everything that we do, if we do it together for some reason, it seems to be better for most of us. If we all support each other in an effort to do these things, then it's like being on a diet by yourself. You know, then you cheat and you kid yourself and you do this and you do that. When you're doing it with everybody else, that's why Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and all those places are successful, because of the support. So,
well, you know, that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I just love your show, Renee, and the whole concept behind it, because Monica and I obviously like doing research. I mean, this is something that floats my boat. You know, I like going on, I like reading books. I like reading, you know, like 4 or 5 books and condensing that information down into a few bits of helpful information so that somebody else doesn't have to read 5 books to benefit from the information within them. I can condense it down and give them a few bullet points and say, look, do these things, and that's going to make a big difference for you, you know, because most people don't have it just doesn't interest them.
Exactly.
They don't see the benefit
exactly.
in spending the time researching. But this is something Monica and I like to do, and so do you, for that matter. So here we can put these solutions out there so that people don't have to spend hours, days, weeks, months, and years researching the things. We can put it down to bullet points to them and say, here's some things. Just try this. And every time somebody does one thing that improves their situation, now they're going to start turning in that direction. And now they might look to other natural alternatives. And then it kind of spearheads going forward like that. And little by little, start improving their situation.
Yeah, well, and
yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
And I
agree with that. But I find that people, when I give them simple solutions for something, they're having pain, whatever, I give them simple solutions, just do this. And first of all, they look at me like I'm nuts. No, I'd rather take a pill, like you said, Renee.
Yeah, it's true.
And they just don't believe me, and it's true. If I can get one person to try what I say and it works, then they're all over me. You know, oh, what else have you got? What else do you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, could I fix you.
Yep.
Well, you know, a lot of that comes to do with something that we talk about on the show all the time, which is personal responsibility. It's unfortunate, but a lot of people, I don't know if it's the majority or not, but sometimes it seems like that, but a lot of people just quite bluntly don't like taking responsibility for their lives. They're more comfortable by saying it's my doctor's fault, it's my teacher's fault, it's my boss's fault, yada, 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 and they go on and on. And everything that's not good with their life, including their health, is the responsibility of somebody else. My doctor, you know, the medicine my doctor gave me doesn't work properly, or the dose is all screwed up, or it's just not working, you know. Instead of being proactive and saying, I'm responsible for how my body is, I was lucky enough that when I was told I needed surgery on my left shoulder, my father and my aunt had actually just had the surgery, and both of them had severe complications. Their surgeries did not go well. As a matter of fact, they both had to have their surgeries redone and never completely healed properly, so they never got full use of their arms again. So I'm not happy that happened to them, but this is what I was seeing just before I was told I needed the surgery, and I was like, you know what, if I'm going to be in pain, I'll be in pain from this. I'm not going to be in pain and on top of that be poisoned by what they do to you in a surgery, you know, because they were still in pain years later. So the surgery didn't do anything except put them out of commission for a very, very long time, you know. So that forced me, for me, it forced me into a situation where I started looking for other alternatives that weren't invasive. But how many people would have just done the surgery regardless of saying their father and aunt have a bad experience with it? They would have said, well, that's what I got to do. That's what the doctor's saying. And they relinquished their responsibility to somebody else.
Well, exactly. Because that's much easier. And we talked about that at length on many shows through this past year about accepting responsibility and doing things that you can't point your finger at somebody else and blame. that is an illness in our world, a big, big illness. And everything that we talk about on the show all intertwines. You know, it's all connected from the way we treat people to the way we treat people badly to the way we treat people with love and respect. It all has to do with personal responsibility. You can't make me, literally, you can't make me do anything I don't want to do. You can't. And I can't make you do anything you don't want to do. But the more we talk and the more we share stories and tell people that this is what happened, there's a lot of people out there today who are investigating their own health and investigating what doctors say. Not enough, very true, but there are a lot more than there were, like, say, even 10 years ago. So I see some light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, but I know you're right, and I know, like I said, anybody I talk to that doesn't understand any of this stuff and is in the dark about it is they haven't hurt bad enough yet. That's number one, because once you get into a place where you're ready to do anything, if somebody told you that if you did 3 back flips and put mud in your mouth, you'd feel better, you're ready to do it, that's when we need to see those people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is about, you know, it is about what you're willing to do for yourself. I do appreciate you guys' research. I can do research, but Shelley, and I think Monica, you're the same way from what I'm hearing. Shelley can read volumes of books. I can't. I get bored with it, and then I start skimming and I miss something. The computer information is awesome for me, because if it's something I really, really feel, you know, like a connection to, I put it on my Facebook page or I save it in a document or something so I can go back and read it when I'm in that frame of mind. To just pick up something and start reading it and get information about it, I have to be in the right place to do that. And I think other people are like that as well. But I've decided I'm going to call Monica our friendly witch doctor. What do you think of that, Shel?
That's what my kids call me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they do.
I think that's from now on, Wednesday's show will be called the Friendly Witch Doctor Show, and we're going to really delve into some of these things, because I agree. I mean, I think, you know, the other thing that nobody thinks about, because I did it for years, and my sister Barbara, the one that passed at Christmas time, we bought bottles of Excedrin that, you know, could be delivered in a truck. And I mean that. I mean, it was nothing for us to go to some place like BJ's and get 2 of those 600-pill bottles of Excedrin, because we lived on them. And then both of us had stomach issues, and both of us had this, and both of us had that. I quit using Excedrin for a long time, and so did she. But it still beckons to me if I'm having days of headaches or neck aches or something like that due to stress or due to whatever. And I know all the answers. I really do. I know what will make me feel better, and it's the advice I give out. I don't hand my bottle of Excedrin to everybody, just to Rini, because it's easier. So I'm just being blatantly honest about it. So because I know that's how I feel, I know that's where other people are at too, even though they have really, really good intentions about it. They fall to the wayside with a quick sip of water and 2 Excedrin. Or the people that are hooked on things like Tylenol or any of those other things. Excedrin was always my over-the-counter drug of choice, always. And when my sister had her last surgery, they had to postpone her surgery for 2 weeks because of all the Excedrin that was in her system.
Wow.
just as a side note, yes. We were all
Tylenol
supposed to go in the very next day.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
We were supposed to go in for surgery the very next day. I was all the way in New York to be there and support her. And the doctor calls, and I answer the phone because she's in the bathroom. And he said, "This is Renee." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I've heard all about you." He said, "Do you know if Barb ever takes things like Excedrin?" And I went, "Yeah, all the time." And he said, "We can't do the surgery." He said, "I wondered why I found this and this and this in the blood test we took this week. We have to postpone surgery." And I said, "Because of the Excedrin?" And he goes, "Yeah, because of the Excedrin." So that's blood. Just a little side note, you know. So go ahead, Shel. What were you going to say?
Well, I was saying, yeah, like Excedrin, Tylenol, different types of over-the-counter medications. People think because they're over-the-counter that they really don't affect the body at all, and yet they're just toxifying to the immune system. Tylenol is very there's a lot of documentation that it causes liver damage. And when I was so sick in my 20s and 30s and into my early 40s, one of my issues with the polycystic ovarian disease was that I had just horrific menstruations. I would be in so much pain that I would always have 2 to 3 days a month where I literally couldn't walk. I would just be devastated by the pain. And they tried all kinds. I couldn't take painkillers because I was oversensitive to pharmaceuticals. Even the most mild painkiller would make me pass out. I just overreacted. Mm. It was my blood pressure. So I megadosed on Tylenol without realizing that I was screwing, and I actually damaged my liver. So to this day, mm-hmm. My liver is functional, but it's not optimally functional. I did damage it with all the Tylenol I took. But at the time, first of all, I didn't know I was damaging my liver, and at the time, I had no other recourse. And then within 6 months of becoming a vegetarian and getting all the factory farm meats out of my diet, 80% of my menstrual symptoms were just gone. And you know, to know all that time that there was such a simple fix in place, you know, and a lot of women today who go through horrific menstruations, I've got another girlfriend who, when she knows, she didn't go vegetarian, but within 10 days of her period, she starts backing off a lot on meats, and she finds now that it's so much easier for her to go through that time of the month, and then afterwards she'll go back to eating meat for a couple of weeks. So what she's like half a month on, half a month off with the meat, and it made a big difference. It just gave her body enough without having the hormones screwing with her to make the menstruation go a little bit more comfortably.
Mm-hmm. On that note, just really quickly, I'm going to throw in there in case there's somebody listening who says, "Oh, God, that's me. You know, I do that all the time every month. You're in your 40s and things are starting to change in your body." One very simple thing that you can do in the evening that will make a difference is when you lay down in bed, do the castor oil rub on your belly. If you want to warm the castor oil in some boiling water on the stove or something like that, don't nuke it. Put it in hot water and get it, you know, a little bit warmer. Rub it on your belly with a hot towel, hot moist towel on your belly, and elevate your legs a little bit will help ease some of the pain that you go through with your menstrual cycle. And I've done that for ladies at the Institute. I've done that. I've advised my daughter-in-law, who struggles with that part of her life, not anymore because she just had that all taken care of. But it first of all, relaxes you, because when you're dealing with that pain all day long, everything else stresses and tenses up, mm-hmm. and then you're like 10 times worse. So not just the act of the castor oil going in and softening everything that's going on in that part of your body, but you've also forced yourself to relax. Mm-hmm. And it's a big benefit. And that's not real time consuming. It's not expensive. You don't have to get on the internet and look up castor oil. Castor oil is available almost everywhere. And so is a hot towel. So there's no reason to really suffer.
I bet magnesium oil would work very well for that also.
Oh, sure, sure. But again, castor oil is usually in everybody's medicine cabinet, so it's a quick fix. You don't have to go look for anything. You don't have to make an excuse that you don't have any magnesium oil in the house. Castor oil is almost in everybody's house, especially if they're over the age of 20, you know, because people knew about castor oil for years. Even pregnant women, it's beneficial for pregnant women when the baby's in one side. You know, like sometimes at the end of your last trimester, the baby will get all scooped over in one side, and you actually walk lopsided. Am I right, Monica?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, you know, and you're like, get over, get over. I've laid flat on – David was so big. David weighed 10 pounds and was 24 inches long, and I'm a big woman, and I could accommodate him, but he took up every bit of space that he had. And I can remember the last 2 months of my pregnancy, I had to sleep in a chair because if I laid down, my spine would kill me, my hips would kill me, everything. So I'd have to put pillows on both sides of my belly to keep him in the middle.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because they like get comfortable and they're moving and everything. The only blessing is usually before they're going to be born, they slow down a little bit. It's like they're resting to make their arrival. But castor oil even helps with that. And I knew that way back then, thanks to my grandma. So, well, you know, we've avoided all of the rest of the talks this week. We're down to 24 minutes. So, Monica, stay with us so that you can keep talking because there's other things that that you're going to want to have some input with. One of the Monday, I ask everybody to watch that video, and it's called One Voice. It's awesome. It's on YouTube. And it blew me away. And it's taken from the old Christmas Carol where Scrooge gets visited by the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future. You remember that part of the story of the Christmas Carol? And this young boy is in school with all of his friends, and they're bullying one kid. And that night when he goes home to go to sleep, he gets visited by the first ghost. And the ghost tells him, you know, you got to quit picking on this kid. And he says, I'm not doing anything to him. We're just messing with him a little bit. And he tells him, you know, no, you're really bullying him. You can't keep doing that. And he sloughs it off, falls back to sleep. Second ghost wakes him up and says, you know, and all of the ghosts have taken their own life because of bullying. And it's a beautiful story. It's not real long. I think it took like 6 minutes or something like that to watch it. But it was so on point. But the best part for me, like I said to Shelley and the rest of the people that listened on Monday, was when he finally realized that he needed to do something. My mind started spinning. How is he going to deal with this? How is a 13, 14-something-year-old going to go in and tell all of his friends, oh, we have to quit picking on him because I had these dreams last night? That's not going to happen, right? He's not going to say that to everybody. So how is he going to deal with it? And it was so simple, like Izzy always teaches us. It was just so simple of what he did and so beautiful. The last ghost comes to see him before he falls asleep, finally, the one that had been there first, and said, he says, well, nothing's going to happen to this guy because we've just messed with him, just been picking on him, you know, nothing bad. We didn't hurt him, you know. He was thinking, you know, they didn't hit him, they didn't do a swirly, they didn't do any of the kind of things that everybody talks about. They were just messing with him with words. So the first ghost that comes at the end, and he said, you came back. And he said, yeah, I told you I would. And he said, well, this isn't going to happen to this guy because we've just messed with him. You know, we'll stop. And he said, no. He said, you're wrong. Tomorrow he's going to take his own life. And he said, how do you know that? And he said, because I'm here and I know what's going to happen. So he falls back to sleep. The next day he goes to school. And like I said, my adult mind is trying to figure out how they're going to make this movie seem like the right thing for him to do. And all he does is walk up. All the other kids are gathered around the door. The kid is in the janitor's closet or something again. And he walks over, walks by them, doesn't say anything to the other boys, opens the door, walks in. You hear him talk, and he comes back out with his arm around the kid and says, come on, let's go have lunch together. And that was the end of it. Now, how simple was that and beautiful?
I know. I love
That's
it.
That's nice. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah. And the simplicity
no explanation.
Of it is what is
yes.
beautiful.
That's what I loved. That's what, and I thought to myself, so in the end, instead of trying to give people your words, which is something I struggle with because I'm bossy, is let them give them the facts, And especially when they're that age, they do keep it simpler than we do. You know, they really do if you get your point across, you know. So that was great, and I hope everybody watches it. Tuesday we talked about bullies to buddies in the workbook, and we actually talked about some of the laws that have been organized and some of the things that have been set up and the reason they were set up, which are good reasons, really good reasons, having things in place to keep kids from doing this and kids from doing that and the things that you say to kids. But in actuality, he works it so he tells you all of the ideas and why they did them and the good parts of why you would think that they're going to work, and then the reality of them. And the reality of them often promotes things that are not what we're looking for. Like teaching a kid that everybody's supposed to be nice to you, don't tolerate anybody being mean to you. Well, I mean, you know, that's all right to say to a kid. You would say that if somebody's being mean to you, walk away from them, right? Or stand your ground or something like that. When, in essence, the truth of the matter is anybody can be mean to you. Anybody can. Nobody's stopping. A big sign doesn't come up or a wall doesn't come up around you when somebody's mean to you. And the truth is it's going to happen. So he teaches you to understand that it's going to happen. It doesn't single you out. It doesn't make you the victim. It only makes you the victim if that's what you believe because somebody's picking on you. So all of the things he talks about are being more honest about what's really going to happen in the real world. You are going to meet people that don't like you. It was hard when I found out that there were people who didn't think my four children were the most adorable, the funniest, the cutest. I was devastated when I found out a teacher didn't like Mike. I was ready to go to school and whoop her ass. You know, and so that's hard for you to get.
I know.
I'm sure you felt that way, Monica. Five boys, good God, you know. And then, you just feel like, you know, what do you mean you don't think he's adorable? Look at that face. How could you not think he's adorable? Well, he's not their kid. So being honest with our kids about what they're going to come up against actually gives them something to work with instead of making them think that, you know, they're living in a perfect world and everybody's going to be nice to them, because that's not true. So he teaches that in a lot of the workbook. As we get down to the nitty-gritty at each end of the chapter, he's still telling you, you know, he doesn't use these words, but don't give your kid a crock of manure. Tell him the truth. Tell him somebody may not like them, you know, and whether or not they let that hurt them is going to be up to them. And I love the way he thinks, and I love the fact that he still talks about the golden rule and treating other people the way you want to be treated. But, you know, not everybody lives that way. Would be lovely if they did, but they don't. And then, of course, Wednesday we didn't do the show, so yesterday we talked a lot, again, about some of the wonderful ideas to help with skincare. And I've already utilized three or four of them with talking to other people just since yesterday. So I think that was a very, very beneficial show. And and we will talk about rosacea next Wednesday. But I also would like to open a door to something Shelley and I talked about, and good you're here with us now, Monica. We'd like to talk about hormones and adrenal glands and things that can affect us very quietly and almost sneakily, you know, hormone imbalance, adrenal problems, even lymph drainage and things like that. Many things are so easy to fix in the very beginning. I remember the first time I learned that bouncing on a lymphaline or a small trampoline will actually take the bags out from under your eyes. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. And I was like, how does that work? And Brian said to me, it just helps empty the lymph. Nice, steady bouncing on a lymphaline every morning, like 10 minutes, will help keep everything moving, and if anything's clogging up, and big circles under somebody's eyes often means that they're toxified from whatever. And bouncing on a lymphaline will actually help disperse those black bags under their eyes. So many simple little things. You know, so many simple little things. We also have a very talented therapist at the Institute who has opened her own place. She's still at the Institute. She used to give lectures about breast exams and things like that. And she does, her forte is lymph massage. And she teaches women how to keep an eye under their armpits and even in their groin and places like that if something feels sore or gets swollen, that, you know, it might just be a backup of drainage. And she teaches them how to check their breasts properly instead of just seeing a picture. She's done a great job, don't you think, Shelley? Linda has done an amazing job with this, and she has a tremendous amount of clients that she takes care of in the Institute and outside of the Institute. She kind of made this her big forte. She started out just a massage therapist and got very interested in what she could do for women with their breasts, and it's amazing. So talking about that, after we do the show next week, the following week, I'd really like you guys to see what you can find out so that we can help people. And, of course, hormones and adrenals have a lot to do with your mood swings, your ups and downs, your crying at the drop of a hat, or your screeching at the drop of a hat, which all of us women get accused of on a regular basis. So knowing the reason for that would be awesome for a lot of women, I think. And I also want to talk about next week some of the other local news that has come out about the young woman who killed all the people, the Craigslist killer. Do you guys know about that?
No.
Well,
I've seen a blurb on it. That's
it. She has, and when you talk about somebody being in a strange place, she actually feels like what she did, she was supposed to do, because she only killed people who were being bad. So, interesting twist. Yeah. Well, yeah, but a lot of sociopaths don't have any reason for anything. They just don't like the way your hair looks today. So this is, she's actually a little bit deeper than that, feels she feels a little bit, righteous about it, which is kind of scary, but at least I have a little bit of understanding. I don't think I've ever wanted to kill anybody, but there's been several times in my life where I would have enjoyed a good bitch slap. So, so you know, that is what it is, right? So I can commiserate a little bit with somebody like that who thinks that they did something that was good for everybody. So let's give you, Shell and Monica, since you're with us, a little bit of time to open up the door to the rosacea so people know what we're going to be talking about next week. Do you want to do that, or would you like to stay on the recap page?
Totally up to you. I do have one thing to say about rosacea, which we could talk about next week into more depth, but a lot of people have discovered that if you have low stomach acid, and most people do, that it allows certain bacteria to multiply, because you're not, the low stomach acid is not killing off the bad bacteria, it's allowing it to go into the small intestine, and by increasing your stomach acid, people are getting rid of their rosacea. So it's very involved, and I've been doing some studying on it, and I could bring more to the table next time if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people.
The Raw family, the Pachinkos, talk about stomach acid and how low HCI levels are at the root of many diseases and disorders, and that's
absolutely
why they... That's why they developed the green smoothie, because really the only way to naturally replace the hydrochloric acid in our stomachs is through dark, the darkest green leafy vegetables like kale and spinach and things like that. But a lot of people can't eat enough to be able, if they have low HCI levels in their stomach, you can't eat enough. You're just going to sit there and you're going to be eating, like 2 pounds a day of it. But people can juice it. So what they do is they've developed these smoothies with fruit, because you can't mix fruits and vegetables, but you can mix green leafy vegetables with fruits, and you don't have that improper food combining. So they have all these recipes. In fact, you can actually Google it. I've saved a bunch of the recipes on my desktop. But they have all these recipes where you put in apples or strawberries or blueberries and all these different types of fruits in different combinations with spinach or kale, because you want to go to the darkest green leafy out there. And in very short order, the symptoms start diminishing, and within several weeks or months, depending on how serious it was, it just goes away. And they did a double-blind study where they told the people not to change anything else in their lifestyle, just to add this, but if they ate a lot of meat or if they did this, not to clean up the rest of their lifestyle, but just to prove that the HCI level increase would substantially improve their symptoms, and sure enough, it did. And then obviously if you make other positive changes, then it would even be a bigger, you know. But even without doing anything different, just adding these green smoothies every morning, it started increasing the correct hydrochloric acid in their stomach.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then they're able to pull the nutrients out of the food that they do eat, and that's how they improve their health that way.
Right, right. Yeah, see, because that's actually something. I'm on the HCG diet right now. As soon as I come off, I want to start doing these green smoothies. I'm going to start doing one every morning.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the things that Becky and I talked about last night. She still does big smoothie for her and David every day. And I said, that's great that you've stayed in touch with that part of, with that part of your life. And she said, yeah, she said it's one of the things that, that I think is the most important. And I said, I agree with you, having the smoothies and doing things that really kind of reinforce your health is the best. So I also wanted to mention, though, that now it jumped in my head and jumped back out again. That things do that a lot to me. I think that if we talk about the pachinkos and people like that, maybe we should do just one whole show about people who have really given us a lot of information and have done a lot of work in regard to this lifestyle, including the two of you. But, I mean, there are several people out there who have adapted themselves to this kind of lifestyle that really makes everybody healthier and, in the long run, happier. Rita Romano does amazing work with her abilities in the kitchen and things like that. There's a lot of that stuff that's out there. So maybe we could have a salute day where we recognize some of these people for the things that they've brought that are making the world a better place. What do you guys think of that?
Well, yeah, and what's nice about that is that even if you have no intention of becoming a raw foodist or a vegan or even a vegetarian, when you understand that there are people out there that have truly enhanced their health and longevity and the quality of their life, you can make moderate changes. You can start adding some of these foods in, and every time you add a food that benefits the body and you're replacing something that didn't benefit the body, you're going to improve your circumstances. And it's going to be by the degree of the changes you make, So it's still going to be good, even if you don't want to go as strict or as deeply as some of these people that we're going to talk about.
Well,
if
and
people
I think
would
it opens...
get into juicing, if people would just get into juicing, and it tastes so good, even if it's the darkest, greenest leafy vegetable, add a carrot, add an apple, all of it organic. And they are just going to be leaps and bounds ahead of other people in their health, in their quest for health. It's just amazing, We do juicing, and it has really helped. And how can you eat 5 pounds of carrots, you know, or whatever that you're supposed to eat. I mean, what, 8 servings of vegetables? Nobody's going to do that, but have one juice in the morning, and you're done. I mean, you've gotten everything that you could possibly get. So that's my 2 cents.
And it's a great way to start the day because it brings about increased mental clarity. It brings about better energy. I mean, I used to do it for a while, and when I stopped doing it, I definitely felt the difference. That's why I'm going to go back to doing these green smoothies, because I definitely saw a dramatic change. So I want to kind of get back there and maintain the benefit of this the HCG that I'm doing right now.
Well, it is an interesting lifestyle, and it does promote better health. One of the other things that I think is something about juicing that I want to say, eating, chewing, masticating your food takes a lot of energy. And sometimes people who are ill, people who are struggling already with their health, starting to juice when you're feeling good is an awesome thing because it keeps you feeling good. But if you are struggling in all the different ways that people struggle with their health and you're already to a point where you're in bad health, eating takes too much energy from a lot of them. I've had people tell me, I can't eat that. I can't chew that long. I can't do this. I can't do that. Especially a salad, because that requires a lot of chewing. At the Institute, when somebody was that weak and that sick, I did simple things for them. I didn't do them, but I'd have the kitchen do them. Squash soup. We'd steam a squash and put it in the blender. Maybe put a little bit of amino acid, a little bit of Bragg's in it or something like that to give it a little bit more flavor. We never gave people sugar. So carrots were always out except for on the buffet. No carrots were put in our juicing. Nothing was done like that because of the sugar content in a carrot. However, we did use, you know, garlic. If somebody liked garlic, we knew that garlic was going to help them. We used the Bragg's. We used other things like basil and one of my least favorite things is, what is that stuff I hate, Shelley? The
cilantro.
The stuff... Yeah, the stuff that's in Mexican food.
Oh, cumin?
Say again? Not cumin.
Cumin?
Cilantro.
Oh.
Cilantro.
It'd be Indian.
Oh, I hate cilantro.
I said cilantro.
God. That's what you said, cilantro? I thought you said Cointreau. I was going to say Cointreau. Isn't that a booze? But
my
phone didn't hear
probably,
you right.
My phone probably
Cilantro I hate, but a lot of people love it, and you know, and we'd flavor things with that too. Or a sweet potato even, which has a tiny bit of sugar, but not like a carrot. But that would soothe their stomachs, and that would, you know, I'd get them having more. And we would blend greens and steam stuff, and we had this special steamer at Hippocrates when they did the new kitchen. And I would get people to get their energy up with that. So if you're in a place like that and you're already ill and you know that you're in a life or death struggle, I hope you're listening to us, because these things can put you in a better place and just get you feeling better, period. So we are out of time. I want to thank everybody. I want to remind everybody that on February 28th, which is this next week, in Jupiter, there will be another OK to Talk mental health meeting that the public is invited to. It's on 140 Intercoastal Point, Suite 211 in Jupiter. And it's really, really important. I've sent letters on behalf of Renee's Heart to Heart in support of what they want to do. They want to include more training and have more follow-up. And my suggestion is going to be, because they're a big part of the Alcoholics Anonymous and everything like that and drug use, is to see if we can't figure out a way to get sponsors for some of the people with mental health issues. I racked my brain trying to think of what's successful with AA and places like that, and that's one of the things that keeps coming up, having a sponsor, having somebody you can call at the drop of a hat who will be there for you. So please don't forget that. If you have any interest in that and you want to know more about it, you're welcome to contact me and let me know. But I want to thank you, girls. This was an awesome show. I so appreciate your input. And from now on Facebook, I'll call Wednesday's health show the Friendly Witch Doctor Show.
Great.
Okay, everybody, have a great day. Go out there and make it the best day ever. It's a beautiful sunny day here in South Florida, and we're supposed to get a little rain this afternoon, but right now it's gorgeous, so go out and enjoy it. Everybody have a wonderful day. Thanks, ladies. Bye-bye. God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rainey. Thanks, Monica.